Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Monday, October 12th. We're back after a scorching weekend, Jen.
Yeah.
What did you do with us all this heat? Could you stand it? Could you
handle it? Yeah, I was okay. Yeah. On Friday, I was, you know, running around all day doing my staycation day with my best friend. And it was okay. I mean, it was hot, but it wasn't anything that, like, I was upset about.
Yeah, because you went to the valley, right?
Right.
So what was the hottest?
Beverly Hills.
Like 90-something?
It was probably 190-something, 97.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Saturday I was at the pool at the SLS Hotel, mm-hmm. and it was hot.
Mm-hmm.
And I was out by the pool all day, which was nice just because I was by the pool and in the pool. But I didn't get a tan at all. So the sun is hot, but it's a winter sun, so it doesn't actually have, like, UV rays or something.
Really?
Yeah, I laid out for 5 hours.
You're kidding me.
No, and I'm as pale as I was on Friday.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
What is that all about? It's not like it was cloudy or anything, right?
No, it's just a different kind of sun. While it's hot, it's not
strong. So it's indirect, yeah.
Yeah.
It's indirect sun. Wow, very interesting.
Yeah.
Never realized that, so... So at least you didn't get sunburned being 5 hours in the sun.
No, but I had on sunblock.
Sunscreen. And
but it didn't even matter.
Yeah.
And it got no color at all.
Well,
I just
maybe
laid
if
there.
You hadn't had it on, maybe you would have gotten some color.
Maybe, but I didn't want to take the chance because I did that one time and I was so sunburned. It was it's damaged my skin for sure.
Yeah, no, that's a crazy chance to take. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, they didn't have sunscreens yet.
Really?
They only had they believed that oil, like tanning oil is good because I guess people just thought of the kind of tan they're going to get. But they never, I mean, there wasn't that awareness of skin cancer and all that stuff.
Right.
You know, so
I remember, though, that didn't people back in the day put like zinc oxide on their nose?
Yeah. Yeah.
So isn't that sunblock?
On their nose, but not really on the rest of the body. I seldom saw anybody put anything like that on their body.
Interesting.
But then again, remember, I also lived in Israel. Maybe they didn't have it yet there when they were already having it here.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, obviously, they didn't have sunblocks. And I don't know what people were doing then, you know. Just stay out of the sun. Not stay out too long.
Well, yeah. I was in it for 5 hours.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. Interesting. Well, yeah, but definitely the pool is the way to do it, or the beach also. I understand a lot of people went to the beach, which is cool.
Yeah.
And I was hoping to go see a movie, but I guess Steve Jobs hasn't started yet. I thought it started this weekend, but I think maybe it's only in one or two theaters, and then it's going to be wide release on Friday. So I'll go see that.
I saw The Intern.
Did you go to see The Intern?
Yeah.
And how was it?
Not great.
Really? You didn't like it?
Well,
because friends of mine went, they said it was great, so I don't know.
No,
what do you think?
No.
No,
it was,
huh?
like, laughable. Like, and not
really?
Because it was funny, but because it was just...
What, ridiculous?
It was...
Lines?
It felt like it was a movie that was just, like, an infomercial or something. Like, not an infomercial, but it was just, like, too positive, even in really difficult situations, and there was no conflict, really. And then all of a sudden there was conflict, but it resolved itself so quickly, and it was fake and, like, not realistic.
Hmm. Did you analyze it too much, or was that just,
No.
That's what occurred to you when you were watching the
movie. Yeah, it just wasn't well done, and it's surprising, because Nancy Myers is great, and most of her, like, movies have been amazing and realistic and heartfelt, and there was real conflict that people could relate to, and and this movie just felt like fluff the whole way through.
Really?
Fluff, that was it.
Wow.
I mean, there were good
and
parts
good cast
to it.
Too, right?
Really good cast.
Right.
There were good parts to it, but then it just fell flat, and you're like, really? Mm. Are you sure that was the choice you wanted to make? How did anyone let this movie be made the way it is?
Wow.
I'm surprised.
That makes you wonder sometimes, because it's not like one or two people.
No, it's a,
right?
like a whole
I
bunch
mean,
of people.
You have a ton of people working on a movie.
Right. I think maybe it got like shuffled through during other movies being made and like people didn't pay attention or something, because any logic police out there and anyone looking at a script can be like, okay, there's holes in this story. Like, okay, I'm going to give a spoiler alert. It's been out for a while, so I don't care. Sorry. Yeah, exactly. Go see it or don't. But you can also just wait until it's in the, like, on TV. But so one of the characters is like really, the Anne Hathaway character is like an evil person, supposedly. She's supposed to be like the villain of The Office.
Okay.
But she's really lovely and approachable and sweet and wonderful, but she has this reputation of being so awful. So it's like, it doesn't match up.
Yeah.
Because you like her. You're not like afraid of her. She's very nice and she's a great mom. And so I picked up on the fact that like she's got this home life with her husband and something's going to go wrong there.
Mm-hmm.
Because her husband is a stay-at-home dad that gave up his career for her career to succeed. And so something obviously had to go awry there because it couldn't just be so hunky-dory and her be such a villain. Wow. So, of course, he ends up cheating on her.
Mm.
And that's what we assumed. You know, like, I'm sitting there with my best friend and we're like, oh, of course he's going to be cheating on her. And what else is going to happen with this story? So you find out he's cheating on her. He comes clean. He says he loves her. And she's like, fine. She's like, okay, I'm crying, but okay, we'll fix it. In the same 5 minutes.
Mm.
There's no drama about it. There's no, she should have just not taken him back. Like, there's just nothing that happened that, like, stood out. You're just like, that's not real life.
Like, not, no dilemma or anything. Like, having to decide one
no,
way or
it's just, it was really? Too easy.
Yeah.
It was just way too easy. The way he came across as an actor was just very, like, superficial. Like, it wasn't like, you didn't feel like it was real emotion.
Mm, and who was the actor?
It was very like Mr. Rogers Playhouse. Like,
really?
I cheated, but I love you, and I made a mistake, and I want to make it up to you for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Very okay. Cliche. Great. Let's be back together. Yeah. That was it. I'm like, what? And then the movie ends. You're like, huh?
Really?
How is that a thing? Especially when she's such a high-powered businesswoman, like, and she knew he was cheating, and she was so upset about it, and then she just takes him back, and you're then like, it's just this is okay. Odd. This wow. is very an odd turn
they
of
probably
events.
Wanted, yeah, they probably wanted to finish the movie quickly. You know, that's what happens sometimes. You know, they're committed to making the movie, and then during the production, it doesn't turn out the way they wanted, but, you know, they have to go through with it, I think. Because you can't imagine you'd have executives that are supposedly smart, they know the movie business, to sit there and green light something like this. You know,
I mean, and so, and like why they wouldn't change the ending or any of that, I just don't really know.
Yeah, it didn't occur to anyone, I guess, that something was wrong with the movie.
I don't know.
That's
how
surprising.
It was so cheesy.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I think a lot of people probably like that, and they like
yeah,
really like, fluffy things.
Yeah, if they like romantic comedies, maybe.
But it wasn't even like. It wasn't. No, it just fell flat. Yeah. And I'm sad to say that because I really love Nancy Meyers.
Right. And you wanted to like the movie.
I did. And there were parts I liked. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
Robert De Niro's character was adorable.
Really?
Yeah. Because he, but it was also like, he didn't face adversity. Like, he played an intern, a senior intern, in a program of like senior interns that this company wanted like wise people around and not necessarily like green people right out of college. So it's an interesting turn of events. But like, then he was the most liked guy in the office.
Really?
He was just the best guy. Everyone loved him. People, like, looked up to him. He was the best intern around.
Yeah.
And, like, he made friends with all the youngsters. Then he got a girlfriend. And, like, you're like, there's no conflict. But that, okay. So he goes there every day, and he's the best guy, and she loves him, and she's not a villain, really.
Wow.
So it's just...
So they kind of glossed over the story. I mean, they didn't really... You're saying they didn't really get deep into the story? Is that how you felt?
Yeah, I just... I think it was really...
It was a shallow movie.
Very shallow and not realistic. Sweet, but stupid.
Okay, well, that's our review for today, folks. If you want to see The Intern, you do it at your own peril, I guess.
Hey. If you're curious and you have your own opinion, go see it.
Yeah. So, yeah, but there's some good movies coming up soon. And I want to see the Tom Hanks movie, Bridge of Spies. That sounds pretty good. My kind of movie. I don't know if
what's it like about?
Spies during World War II, I guess, against the Nazis and stuff. So I'm sure my dad's going to like that. So finally, I found something I can take him to.
Yeah. What about Black Mass? Or is that too...
I don't know. How is that? I mean, what is it about? Drug dealers and stuff?
It's about the mob.
The mob. That might be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard it's pretty good, right?
Well, so I've heard mixed reviews, but I think the person that told me it wasn't good is not necessarily the best judge of things.
Okay.
So I heard, though, that it was really good from other people.
Okay. I'll check it out.
If you like The Departed, it's similar to The Departed.
Really?
Yeah.
It's just that some... actually, I don't think I like The Departed. I kind of saw only half of it. If my memory serves me, which usually it doesn't. But which one were we just talking about? The other one?
Black Mass.
Black Mass. I heard that it's... Oh, the thing is that I think there may be too much violence in there, you know? And
well,
I don't know.
When you see war movies, those are pretty violent.
Yeah, but I don't think that one's going to be that kind of a movie. It's not going to be like that... the tank movie with Brad Pitt. What was it called? Fury.
Yeah. Oh, that was too gory for
yeah,
me.
Exactly. You know, Saving Private Ryan was pretty gory too. But with the mob, I mean, it's just, I don't know, violence for violence sake. I don't know. I'm just not crazy about it. I do like mob movies, don't get me wrong. But I'm just thinking, you know, it's just like everything out there was too much violence. I think this movie, The Bridge of Spies, is going to be more like a psychological drama, you know, spies,
like
things like that, yeah. You know what is a good movie I just caught on Netflix is November Man. But then again, it's action. I don't know. Are you into those kind of movies?
Yeah.
With Pierce Brosnan. And that's actually a pretty good movie, you know. It's kind of like The Bourne Identity, you know. So he still... gets to play action parts, but not a James Bond type of thing.
Yeah.
So it's pretty good. I like him. I think he's a great actor.
I do too. What about The Martian?
Martian, we were talking about that, right? So
were we?
Yeah, we were talking about it, about the fact that he's alone there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and that it takes a lot of, I think, talent to be able to carry your attention.
People are saying it's a really good movie.
I know. And the same the whole cast is, which I'm sure there's a cast like, you know, the people on the ground and stuff. Yeah. Who else is in it? Do you know?
No idea. But I'm curious to see it. I also really want to see Pan.
Oh, the Peter Pan movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, does that look good?
To me?
Yeah.
But I also grew up with Peter Pan as like my story, you know, like
really?
Like I was also in Peter Pan as a play when I was little.
I played
Wendy.
Yeah.
So I've just always loved the story, and I think this new version is an interesting twist on the like a modern day story of Pan.
Mm.
I mean, it's not modern day. It's actually like how he got to be Peter Pan.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, okay. So it's like okay, that's interesting.
It's like a prequel.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I think it'll be really good. Especially with like Hugh Jackman, and there's a lot of great people in it.
Oh, wow. I didn't check into that at all, but it sounds pretty good. I don't know. These movies, I don't quite relate to them. But, I mean, but it's made for adults or for young adults or really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Interesting. So, what does a kid that wants to see the movie do? I mean, is it good for kids too?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, it is.
Well, not like little kids. I'm sure it's like maybe it's a PG.
Right. You think it's something like the Peter Pan with Robin Williams?
Yeah.
Is it that kind of
a
movie? Okay.
But with better, you know, technology now.
Right. So it's not for little kids, but...
No.
Okay.
Parental guidance.
Okay. That's true. Parental guidance.
I mean, and it's not animated, so it's not like for little ones.
Yeah. That's true.
So how was your weekend?
My weekend was quiet, Jen. The heat made me not want to really do much. And in hindsight, I should have probably gone to the beach. It's just that every time I think about the beach, I'm thinking parking, people, and traffic.
Well, which beach do you go to?
I would probably go to Santa Monica or something.
Why? That's the worst beach.
That's true, huh?
You're literally picking like a tourist trap.
Right. So where do you go to? Like Zuma?
No, not all the way up there. I'll go to like the Palisades or like Carbon Beach in Malibu.
Are those like free beaches or do you have to pay to get in?
No, it's free.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Because there's some beaches you have to pay, right? Like Paradise Cove or something, don't you have to pay there to get in?
I don't know.
I think so. I don't know. I've never been there.
It's really nice up there, actually.
Yeah, it's very
nice.
You
could even socialize.
That's true, yeah. Okay, I'll try those beaches maybe. So there's less people there, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and more parking. Although I remember we went to the beach once, and I paid for parking, but I parked at the wrong spot, I guess. I didn't realize it was blocked out, and I got a $90 ticket.
Whoa.
So that was the visit to the beach, $90, but yeah. So at any rate, we are waiting for a guest to call in, but she probably won't because we're sitting here without internet connection currently. So we'll have to apologize to her. I mean, I don't know if... I mean, this interview is kind of jinxed because we already postponed it twice. And it's a great guest and everything. It just it hasn't worked out. And then today, you know, it was one time when we didn't come in. I think I wasn't feeling well that day or something. It was about a month ago, and then there was another time that she couldn't make it, and then yeah.
Well, maybe yeah. It's not meant to be.
No, you know what? Actually, I think the last time we also had an internet problem, and she told me she tried to call all the entire hour.
Yikes!
And we didn't answer it. I think we didn't have Skype that day.
Well, maybe we should text her or email her something and let her know that there's no internet so she doesn't spend an hour trying to call.
I know. But how am I going to tell her? I don't even have her number with me. I can't access any of her information.
Well, I can access my emails that you sent me, and I can email her probably.
You think?
Well, yeah.
Okay. That would be cool if you can do that.
Cool is your favorite word. I'm going to make a drinking game.
Right.
Of how many times you say cool an episode.
I know. I'm sorry. But I mean...
No, it's fine. I'm just going to make a drinking game out of you. Yeah. Which anybody at 10 a.m. if you're listening.
Right. I mean, I say cool. I say awesome. I say great. Because there's got to be a way to comment on things, right? I don't know what else to say.
All the other words.
Like what?
I don't know.
Tell me.
You're the reader.
I'll start using them.
You're the one who reads so much.
What am I going to say? I'm going to say great... Good. There's people that say fantastic.
We can make a challenge. We can challenge each other to expand our vocabulary.
Right.
You're the one who reads. I should actually
no,
be
no,
better
but,
at this.
But reading, but how do you respond to something that is great news or something that is good?
Well, maybe I'll bring in a board and I'll post it on the wall and we can pick from different words.
Okay, but I'm putting you on the spot. But I mean,
no, okay, here we go. We can rattle them. Let me write to Lori
first. There's people that say terrific.
Let me write to Lori first and let her know.
Okay, so...
You can tell me some words while I'm writing her.
Okay, so I think terrific is a good word.
That's a good word.
Donald Trump uses it a lot.
Does he? In what context? What's terrific to hit Donald Trump?
It's like, that man is terrific, you know, I am terrific, you know, things like that, you know. But so this terrific, I know people that say fantastic. There's people that say... Well, I don't know. I mean, saying good is too... It's not as meaningful, I think, as saying great, awesome, cool. I don't know. We used to say right on.
Okay.
We used to say far out. But those are from the 70s. I mean, people don't use that anymore.
No.
You know what they say? I think kids today say it's dope.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, it depends also what you're trying to convey. Like, certain things are... dope. And then other things, like, it just depends. Like,
right. Well, I would say wow.
You right.
Know, so there's a lot of words I'm using. But, I mean, I'm trying to think, how do I react to something that is good news?
Okay, something's good news. Like, we need to have an example, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Somebody just released their book.
Okay.
Because we have a lot of that. Let's just use that as an example.
Right.
So they just released
my book, and we just got to number 20 on Amazon.
So what are you going to say to that?
No, what are you going to say to
that? Oh, I'm going to say, congratulations. That's amazing news. You must feel so fulfilled.
So you'd say all these things.
I mean, not probably time. In a run-in sentence, but a run-on sentence.
No, but every
like,
time.
No, I would use different versions of that, because right. every scenario
is... amazing. Amazing is another word.
Right, that's amazing.
Uh-huh.
How exciting for you.
Right.
that's impressive. I'm sure I could come up with a slew of other words, but so that's that kind of situation.
Right.
What else do we have?
What if it's not impressive?
Then, man, that's rough. Or that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
That's got to be disappointing.
Yeah.
How does that make you feel?
Okay, so you're going into a whole analysis of somebody where we're just trying to convey excitement.
Well, I don't know that amazement. I don't know that we need filler words necessarily, because I think, is that what you're saying that you're looking for? Like just a quick response?
Yeah, I guess.
To brush it off and
which is not good on radio, I know. Sometimes, and you know what? Sometimes maybe I just should not respond at all. But then it seems like I'm not listening. If you said something.
You want to acknowledge.
And I'd say,
That's what you're trying to do. You want to acknowledge what someone's saying.
Right.
And for those listening out there.
And to show them that I'm interested.
You hear, we're giving you all tips on A, hosting radio shows, and B, conversation.
Exactly. You know, manners.
Today is a lesson on that. Since we have no internet and we can't look up the news. We'll just teach you something.
We have plenty to talk about. I mean, they still want to talk about dating.
Oh, well, good. You know, that could go on for days.
I know.
Okay, well, I think you want to acknowledge properly what someone's saying and be empathetic in that same acknowledgement.
Absolutely.
Well, there are several things you could say that we've just run through there. So if something's like, let's say somebody's like, I overcame adversity, you know?
Right.
Okay, so what you would maybe say is, in terms of like a quick thing, maybe that sounds rough. Or how did that make you feel? I mean, because obviously it's an interview when we're doing it. So like,
right. But you're talking about something that I would not say cool to anyway. You know,
right.
You're saying about something rough.
Well, you might say, wow.
Yeah.
You say,
I
wow.
I might say, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
But, or you could just keep saying these things and literally we can make a drinking game out of it.
No, that's true. But I mean, it does bother me. That's why I try not to listen to my own show. Yeah, I mean, I think about it. Yes.
Oh, well, why didn't you come up with other words to say?
Because it's just natural. I don't want to have to work hard when I do a show.
You're supposed to work hard at things you do.
That's true. But now you made me aware of it, and now I'm going to pay more attention to it.
Well, there you go.
But let me tell you, for 8 years, I try to get rid of as and as, but I can't. Because I come from a country where everybody talks like that.
What do they say?
As and as and M, like I don't say but I say
It's a filler word for while people are thinking.
Exactly.
However.
But it doesn't work very well on radio, especially if you start listening to it, because it becomes distracting. But I come from a place where in Hebrew, everybody talks like that.
Interesting.
And I noticed it lately because I thought, why do I insist on putting those ums and ahs in there?
I don't know, but I understand why you would do it. Most people do just in their normal conversation because that's what people do. I just said In hosting class, they teach you a lot of these things where they like tase you basically. And they're like, don't do that.
Right.
Like there are things you shouldn't do with your hands if you're on TV. There are things you shouldn't say if you don't need to. Basically, use less words. You don't need to fill the space.
Right. Especially when you're on radio, you know, and you're concerned about dead air.
Right.
That's why I do it.
Well, but, there's but no still, dead air usually.
Right. But because I fill it. But, but no. I noticed that people that are professionals on radio do not use that. They just don't say anything for a second or two.
Well, we're professionals.
Feel it. No, I know. It's just that you have to be aware of it constantly. And that was a good idea when they call you out on it every time you say it.
Yeah. They make sure you know what to do and what not to do. Because otherwise, I don't know, they send you into the world. So.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. And how long was that class for?
We took it for a month. I'm trying to remember. It was one full weekend of like boot camp style stuff. So it was like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then a weekly class after that.
Mm.
And you would continue weekly for however much you want to pay for it, for however long you want to pay for it. Obviously, I stopped at some point.
Yeah. Sounds like fun.
It's fun and informative.
Yeah.
That's how Lauren and I met, was hosting class.
Right.
So I got that out of it.
That's true. And you know you're going to meet someone who's like-minded, at least professionally.
Well, she wanted to better herself, so yes. I appreciated that. That's true.
Plus, you both wanted to go into hosting.
Right. Well, yeah. I wouldn't host with somebody that didn't, because right. that wouldn't really make a whole lot of sense. But right. at least I knew we both had the same skill set, or we both learned the same things.
Right.
Or hopefully did. Right. There are plenty of people that came out of hosting class that I'm still not sure what they learned. Because here's the thing. You learn also in like improv. I took improv classes. Mm-hmm. I graduated from Second City. So when they learn, they teach you the basics, like yes and somebody.
Mm.
So if somebody, see, you just said,
But this was a different thing. This was sort of like agreeing with you.
Oh, well, there
okay,
we go.
Okay, you're right. But that's instead of cool.
Shots for everybody. So there are basics like yes and. Okay, so for instance, yes and is if I say something to you, Sam, mm-hmm. and we're talking, I'm like, okay, Sam, like, don't you always go to the beach on the weekends? Clearly, that's not true.
Right.
But what you would have to say to further this conversation is, mm. I do, or at least I try to, or I want to. It's always in my plans. I don't always get there. Let's be honest. Like, you're trying to, like, agree with me, but you can also reveal more information.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't just flat out be like, no, because then where does the conversation go from there?
That's true, yeah.
Or if somebody asks you a question, you don't just answer yes or no. But you'd also not ask a yes or no question.
Right. But wait a minute. You're not the one who's being asked the questions. Usually as a host, you're the one who asks the questions.
Right. But the point is, like, in this circumstance, like, you and I don't have a guest right now.
Right.
We're just having a conversation.
Right.
So the conversation would be pretty terrible if I said, Sam, you read a lot.
Yes. And that's it.
Yeah, right.
Right.
And then, right. Okay, cool.
But that's what I'm saying. But the responsibility here is on the guest, and when the guest doesn't carry the conversation, you have to.
Well, is the responsibility on the guest? I don't know, because what are they trained in? They're trained in whatever they've done.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. If you expect them to answer yes and, then you expected them to know the interview skills.
No, I'm not necessarily saying the guest needs to know yes and.
Okay.
But your fellow hosts should.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Because you're trained in the same thing. Mm. You don't want dead air.
That's true.
You don't want things to just stop. And you also don't want to negate your partner, because your partner is a team. Your team. So you don't want to leave them hanging.
Right.
You want to better the sake of the show. Mm. So that means you both have to not necessarily agree on everything, but you have to build each other up to go somewhere with whatever you're doing.
Right.
That was that's a thing that you learn in improv school. And by the way, not everyone came out with that same information.
Yeah.
But that's like day one of improv. But you get on stage sometimes and you'll say, well, you don't know the circumstance of the scene because you're coming up with it on the fly. So like, I might think we're in a doctor's office and you might think we're on the moon.
Mm.
So if I say, well, that's a mighty fine receptionist we have there, and she's doing a great job of checking in our patients, and you're like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm on the moon. Like, okay, cool. Awesome. You just killed that scene. I have no idea what we're doing. You ruin the momentum, and the audience is like, what the hell?
Right. So there's got to be cooperation.
Right.
Huh.
You got to work together.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you got nothing.
Yeah, that's true.
So these are just some things you pick up along the way.
There you go. You see tips for everybody.
Right.
We're all full of tips today.
You know what? I'm going to teach a lesson every Monday, maybe. That's my new thing. Monday memories from my time in classes.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, I started reading some... this book is called The Manual. And this guy wrote, and he claims that he knows how to talk to women and how to understand women.
This is different from, like, everything else?
Yes, we just moved on.
No, but it's different from everybody else in the world that's written a book about this?
I don't know. You know, I mean, I started reading it. I downloaded a sample on my Kindle. And he actually goes into the evolution of people and stuff. You know, it's not like a deep book by any means. It's more like a dating relationship book. But he gets into, like, socialization, how we come to believe what we believe, and, you know, why many men are lacking confidence or think that they know what women think and they don't and things like that. I mean, I do get a kick sometimes out of guys telling you what women think, but, you know, maybe they know.
How?
They come in contact with women, maybe, and they find out based on experience or something.
But also, how many women are honest about what they're thinking when they talk to a man?
Right, but maybe he's doing it more based on research. I don't know what it's about, but why do people... I don't know. Sometimes things make sense, though. So, like, for example, let me tell you, and I mean, this is nothing new. We already know that in evolution, men are supposed to propagate, right?
Okay.
Have offspring. And women are supposed to also propagate, but they also need to care for the offspring. And thus, they look for a male that can protect and help them with that. Is that true so far? I mean, do you agree with that as far as evolution?
I mean, I don't know that I agree with it as far as evolution. I would probably, maybe that's where our instincts originally came from. I just know now what works.
Right. I'm not saying now it works, but what I'm saying is that essentially when you think of a family, I mean, most people get married and start a family.
Yeah.
So those people essentially are playing those roles that we just talked about. The man wants to have offspring. He's going to pick it with, he can do it with as many women as he wants because that's in the interest of evolution. So you can have 100 women and one man and have more children than if you had 100 men and one woman, right?
Right.
She couldn't bear 100 children.
No.
So these are the things he makes you think about. So, but this is sort of like the basic, you know. I mean, I haven't really decided if I'm going to read the rest of the book or not. But I'm trying to figure out just based on these things where he makes some sense. But let me tell you this. He brings up a point where I don't quite agree with it. Because he says, look, he says women are obviously not as visually stimulated as men. Would you agree with that?
100%.
Okay. So he says that women are less concerned with the way a man looks than with his behavior, his confidence, things like that.
100%.
Right? Okay. Now, I think when you get married, you also want to look at the ability of the man to provide or help provide for you, right? Or at least provide for you while you can't do it for yourself. Like if you're pregnant, if you have kids and stuff like that, why would you get married? Why would you marry a man in the first place?
Well, we like partners.
Right.
And families. And right. Like tradition.
Right. But, you know, it's okay, tradition. That's what I'm saying.
And like
but
a household and like a fam. I don't know.
If it was the bottom line, let's say there's no society, nothing. You're like in the wild. Wouldn't you rather have a man with you to protect you and your offspring? I mean, you would almost have to.
I mean, if I was in the wild, sure.
Right. But that's what I'm saying, though. I'm still talking about like the evolutionary right. part of things.
Okay. So if we're cavemen and women, yeah, I would want some dude to protect me from like the dinosaurs.
Right. So what I'm saying is I think in a primitive way, when you get married, you hope that the man is going to be able to provide for you and so forth. Look, that's my opinion. I don't know. But it makes sense to me.
Okay.
So the question is then, so the woman obviously is not as... So let me ask you this then. If we already know what the man wants, he wants to propagate, he wants to find a woman that has good genes, that is fertile, things like that, you know, that will help him to continue. Of course, with society, we call it different things. We're like, I'm attracted to her physically, she's smart, she's all these things, yeah. But the basic, the very essence of it, is what I've been discussing.
I'm confused by your question.
Okay.
What's the question?
Okay, so going back to the question is, do you feel that these reflect like what drives people, what motivates people to get married and to, not just to get married, let's say be in a relationship? I mean, do you see where, do you think this is like primitive part to all this, or do you think it's all socialized stuff?
I would guess that it's probably socialized now.
Right.
Because we're not primitive beings, really. I mean, I'm sure there's instincts deep down
Right, but we fight them. In many ways, we do.
Because I don't know, because I at some point, I think I probably put it one of my dating profiles at, over the years, like that I want a man that can hang a shelf and protect me from harm. Yeah. And I don't know what else I said, probably ridiculous things. But at the same rate, there's truth to that. Mm-hmm. I also want to protect myself in general, because I'm an independent person and I don't want to rely on people for anything.
Right,
but
right.
And that has nothing to do with
being a modern woman.
No, but it's also like not being a feminist or anything. It happens to be I'm an only child.
Right.
I live across the country from my parents. Right. I'm 30 years old.
And it doesn't mean independence is being a feminist.
No, exactly. Right. That's what I'm saying. I happen to want to rely on myself and be able to take care of myself because I'm who do I have? I have me.
Right.
And I don't like the idea of ever being dependent on anyone, because then what if they get away? What are you going to do? You're going to be a helpless little weirdo running through the world feeling like a martyr and sad and a victim.
Exactly.
So, I just have certain things that I want to do for myself based on responsibility and being an adult.
Right.
Female or male, I don't care. Right. I'm an adult. Exactly. But I don't think it's primitive. I don't think.
Yeah. No. So let me ask you.
Like
this.
I don't rely on myself to start a fire. I know my abilities.
Right.
Not going to start a fire.
So, but you can't. I mean, so men are more like, let's say, visually stimulated, but you can't say that women don't consider looks as important, right?
They of course they
looks
have eyeballs.
Are very important, right?
They have eyeballs, so they can see, and they can tell you what they find attractive and not, but. What we find attractive necessarily is not just based on looks.
Right. And that's the thing that I'm trying to get at.
We find qualities attractive.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. More than looks.
I don't know that that's a primitive thing or not, but we look deeper.
Right. Right. I don't know if that's...
It appeals to our senses and our emotions. That's how you get a woman. Just like that story we said on, like, female Viagra. It appeals to the woman's emotions, not to, like, her necessarily physical being, because we are emotional head cases. Like, that's how we emote and feel things for other people.
Right. But, you know, society does show us that... it's like you always see the man saving the damsel in distress and not the other way around, you know. I think we sort of like put women in a position where they need to be rescued and protected.
I mean, I think that might have also been a fairy tale story from back in the day. You don't really hear about modern fairy tales. You hear about the ones from the old days.
Right. But don't you think still a man would always rush to help out a woman and stuff in distress?
I think it's in terms of manners they should.
Yeah.
But I would also help a man, but would a man be in distress? I don't know. Actually, that's not true. Men are in distress every time they're sick. They don't know what to do. They turn into tiny, tiny toddlers, and they are angry at the world. Why that happens, I don't know. It's like they miss their mom, and we have to all of a sudden save them from, I don't know, they can't get up and get soup.
Right.
They're disabled. All of a sudden, they're disabled, and they're cranky about it. Like, I've never seen a more consistent thing across the board. Every man I know, when they're sick, turns into this nightmare. They're like a baby that throws a hissy fit, and it's weird. So we do have a maternal nature where we'll come bring you soup and take care of you.
Exactly.
So maybe that's our helping you in distress. But
That's the nurture type of thing.
Right.
You know, yeah. Yeah. So I think the bottom line is to understand that there are differences. And, you know, I don't know if this guy knows what women think or whatever, but that's why I come and ask you as a woman.
I'm going to need to know more about what he's got to say than to answer fairly.
So maybe
you should just
share the book or something. Yeah. And I'll finish reading the book. But, you know, that's why I'm still on the fence as far as to whether continue reading that book or not. But, you know, maybe I'd like to believe it, but...
Hey, and also, I'm not the only kind of woman out there to answer this, because everyone's different, and I'm a very different person than the next girl.
Exactly.
Like, I happen to want to be very independent, and I don't want to rely on people, but there's a slew of women out there that want to be taken care of financially, like all those people on that Anastasia date that just want people to pay their way.
Right.
I'm not that girl, so...
Right, exactly.
My ideals of how things should be are way different.
Yeah. That's true. That's true. And I think maybe that's the bottom line, is making generalizations, you know, because if you want to understand something, you have to generalize so you can understand it, you know. So if we say that women in general, or many women, or, I don't know if it's most women.
I don't know, unless there's statistics behind it.
There's characteristics that women have that we're obviously different.
Yeah.
You know. What are some of the ways you feel we're different, men and women are different?
Well, I think women tend to overanalyze things because we're a feeling, thinking, analytical bunch.
But don't you think guys also do that?
I do, but I think that it doesn't take a hold of them as much as it does women. Like, they can move on and get over things.
Yeah.
Also,
I mean, I've seen guys that see a woman and already they're visualizing themselves marrying her and kids and everything.
Really?
You know? Yeah.
Oh, well, that's really
lovely. They analyze that. Yeah.
Well, great. I mean, I think also in terms of, like, breakups, mm-hmm. that's a good way to show, like, how men and women are different, because a lot of men will, if they break up, let's say he breaks up with her. Mm. That's just one example. He doesn't really feel anything for that situation necessarily. He doesn't like sit at home and like sulk immediately. He'll go out with his friends. He'll do whatever it is to distract himself from that.
Yeah. See, that's a generalization.
Right.
Though.
And then a month later, or even a week later, let's just say, when he doesn't have her in his life, all of a sudden it will set in and he will be upset.
Right.
Whereas a woman will be upset instantly and she will wallow and be sad and the whole thing. And then she'll bounce back and she'll be fine because now she's mourned the situation. She's dealt with it. She's emoted. She's gotten it all out there. All of the worst possible scenarios have come out. And then she's moved on, which is why sometimes when men come back to women, they've moved on.
So you're saying that a woman gets angry before she gets, before she mourns, before she feels the
loss? No, I didn't say anything about anger. I said that she feels all the feelings from the breakup immediately, whereas a man will postpone them and prolong the situation, and then he will all of a sudden be hit with a wave of emotion that he was probably in denial for.
Okay, so you didn't mention anger. Do you think it happens somewhere down the road?
I don't know that that's anything.
Because
why?
Because I'll tell you why. Because what you were describing is actually the processes that a person goes through
for grieving.
For grieving, right. And a loss.
Yeah.
Right.
We deal with basically whatever, fine. You can throw it all right. the phases of emotion.
Because usually it's shock, first of all, right?
I don't know. If we're going to talk about grieving, that's a whole different thing. But what I'm talking about specifically is women deal with things more immediately and men deal with things a little bit later on. Mm. And so
postpone it.
Yeah. We're not on the same page as far as like the progression of things. And so that's why a lot of times when men come back to women, we've moved on.
Right.
So a warning to men, all the men in the world, if you don't want your woman to move on and you might think for a second that you want her back at some point, don't break up with her. Because she will go find somebody else.
Right.
Or she will go find herself, which is way better than whatever she was when she was with you.
Yeah.
Because of whatever the dynamic you had. But she will come out better and stronger usually.
Yeah.
Because she has dealt with all of the things.
Right.
Like my ex-boyfriend from 2 years ago only recently figured things out.
Really?
Like,
only got over it recently?
No, he got over our situation, but he didn't figure it out. As to what happened and like really go through the process of saying like, okay, these things occurred. How did that make anybody feel? How did I actually feel? I buried it because I got two girlfriends after that. He literally went from our relationship to another one to another one. So he didn't even have time to process anything. Mm-hmm. But that then led him to make terrible decisions after that.
Yeah.
Whereas I learned from it 10 times from then, you know, like.
But I think maybe it's you also, you know. It's not just any woman, but...
I don't know. Go ask. You can go poll women all over the place. We do this thing where we feel what all the scenarios might be. Oh, he's going to get a girlfriend. Oh, he's happier without me. Oh, he's successful in his career. But I'm not going to see him in a month. And we had all these plans for things. And that's going to feel so bad. So we like preeminently feel things. Like, we're just like, well, it's going to feel like this. So I'm going to feel it now.
Right.
Meanwhile, it doesn't really feel all that bad.
Yeah.
Pull the Band-Aid. Rip the Band-Aid. It'll all be fine. Just get over it.
Yeah.
Is my stance. But we feel it more soon, like abruptly than men do. Mm. They usually feel it later.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, I miss her. And it's like.
But I think you're referring to when the man breaks up with a woman.
Right. When the
right?
woman does, it's a different story.
Right. Yeah.
Unfortunately, when a woman breaks up with a man and he had no idea what's coming or whatever. then it rocks his world and he never wants to be a good person again in a relationship, and he doesn't learn from it, and he's just like makes a proclamation to never have that happen again. Mm. Versus, well, what might have happened? Maybe I should figure that out.
Yeah.
Then he never wants to have his heart broken, which is why a lot of men are hard to deal with, because they're like, well, I'm never going to have that happen again. One woman scorned me and now I'm never going to let it. Mm. So I'm going to be a tough guy.
But don't women do that too? I mean, no. Like, I'm not going to be hurt again. No. I don't want to be hurt again.
We might say it, but we don't really mean it.
Really?
It's a nice thought. But no.
So it might take a while for her to get back into the dating scene.
We just
scene,
have to trust somebody. Once we trust you, and if you break through those walls, which you can do quickly by just being a nice person.
Right.
And being there for the person and trustworthy.
So you're saying... So,
it's a lot easier than you think.
Yeah.
We like to be heard. That's it. We want to know you care.
Right.
The best thing you can do with a woman... to break down her walls is to actually listen to her.
Right.
And if you repeat the things she says to you, we think you care. Because you're listening.
Yeah.
So whatever we're saying must be important to you.
Right.
So great, then we like you.
You want to be heard, yeah.
Right.
Interesting stuff.
It's real easy.
And if you guys want to hear more of this wisdom, you can tune in Wednesdays at noon to It's Complicated with Jen and Lauren. And what are you going to do this week on your show? Do you have it planned out yet?
We have a guest.
Mm-hmm.
He's a music video director, and he's a photographer, and he's in the business, and we're going to talk to him. It's a guy, so we're going to rack his brain on all these things.
Because
everybody, you know, just like I said, there's a bunch of different kind of women out there. Lauren and I have a lot of the same perspective on things, and then also we're very different.
Right.
Same thing with men. You know, you could ask any man, and there's a bunch of different answers.
Right. So you guys just like to get opinions from different people.
Right. We're just surveying people, basically. Right. We're polling the people. If you have any questions for Andre Ladon, who's our guest on Wednesday, you can look him up. Tweet at us at Complicated Show, and we will ask him those questions.
There you go. You see? All right. Well, that's it for today, folks. I think many people were able to listen to the second half of the show. I see they can. Because our internet is back up.
Right.
So we do apologize to the live listeners for you not being able to hear us. But the show is going to be archived within 20 minutes. And then you can listen to it in its entirety. Because it's a great show. You see, we don't need any internet to pull a show together.
No, and who really
and
even
I
needs
never
news?
Doubted it for a second. All right, everybody. Well, thank you all for joining us. Jen, have a wonderful day.
Thank you, too.
And we'll see you all tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.